أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. أبو سيدنا محمد وعلى. To conclude our session this week, inshallah, we talk about our duties and whether we have to be worried that, for example, the Imam is not coming, or we will not be there when he comes, or we shouldn't be worried. Is it good to live now in this situation, or to live at the time of the Imam? These are the things that we have to discuss. Now, before going into our duties at the time of Ghaiba, at the time of occultation, I want to mention merits of those living at the time of occultation. That's us. Okay, we are living at the time of occultation. And there are many traditions actually talking very highly about us. That we are a very good people, and we are going to be rewarded very well because, of course, we don't have Imam. You know, if you don't have something, Allah would compensate that for you. And because we don't have Imam, Allah is going to compensate that for us. However, just one thing, because these traditions, some of them may seem confusing. We have time of Imam, alayhi salam, presence of the Imam, but without power. An Imam without power is waiting for Qa'im, just like us. You know, imagine, for example, Imam Hasan al-Askari. You may say, I wanted to live at the time of Imam. Okay, you would have lived at the time of Imam Hasan al-Askari. What would have you done? Nothing. He was under house arrest. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't get in touch with him. People went and brought the conflicting news or reports from him. Nothing. So he didn't have any power. He couldn't do anything. So people living at the time of presence of the Imam, alayhi salam, like Imam al-Askari, like Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Sadiq, all of them, they are regarded to be like us, that they didn't have imams. Because imams did not have open hand to lead the society. The main function of the imam is to lead the society. Now, if imam is there, but he cannot lead the society, he himself is waiting, awaiting for the Qa'im to come. And that's why you hear many traditions from A'imma alayhi salam that when our Qa'im comes, they did not specify in many traditions who will be the Qa'im, which one of them will be the Qa'im. And of course, in many traditions, they have specified that the 12th one is the Qa'im. But the point is that they regard the people, the Shia, in their own times as the people who have no Imam sometimes. Now, our situation is even worse. Their situation was very bad because the Imam was there, he could not lead them. Our situation is even worse because that very little narrow contact that they had with the Imam, we don't have that as well. So, things which are said about the Ashab of A'imma during the time where the Imams did not have power to lead the society would be applicable to us even with more strength. So when I go through these traditions, you just take it as that, and I will explain as we go through it. Now, first of all, the Prophet, peace be on him, said to Amir al-Mu'mineen, إِنَّ أَعْظَمَ النَّاسِ يَقِينًا قَوْمٌ يَكُونُونَ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ. The people of greatest certitude are a people who will be at the end of the time. They did not catch up with the Prophet. This habit is redundant. They did not catch up with the Prophet, and the Hujjah was veiled from them, or would be veiled from them. So they believed in some black on white. That means writings. Quran, Hadith. They only believe in that they don't have Imam, they don't have Prophet, they haven't seen any of the A'imma alayhi salam. Still, they are strong. You just imagine the people at the time of A'imma alayhi salam, the Shia. They were actually hesitating all the time. somehow going from one side to another side, losing faith, losing yaqeen. But you can see Shia now, some Shia are really, really strong in their faith. So the Prophet said these are actually the greatest, have the greatest certitude compared to many of even the companions of the Prophet or companions of A'imma alayhimus salam. And it was told, Imam Asadr was asked, what is your opinion about someone who dies on this conviction, waiting for it? On this conviction or on this affair, usually the Imam used this. The Imam used had al-amr, mean the amr of wilaya, leadership, imama, because not every Muslim believed in imama and leadership and wilaya. So those who believe in this matter of wilaya, and they die waiting for the manifestation of this, whether they were at the time of A'imma or now. You see, even those who were at the time of A'imma, they believed, they had, of course, this conviction about imama, but they didn't have the imam to lead them. The imam was there, but he couldn't lead them. So, even at the time of the A'imma alayhi wasalam, they were waiting for the qa'im to come. And sometimes, because we don't actually understand this, we are confused. When the people at some imams have imams that they are waiting for someone else to come, for another imam to come, it's because they were waiting for the imam to lead the society. So anyone who is actually on this matter of imama, waiting for it to manifest. He says, هو بمنزلة من كان مع القائم في فسطاته. Remember, this is at the time of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. And the person who's asking is saying that I am waiting for your manifest leadership. But I don't know whether I will catch up with that or not. I die before it or after it. So he says, if you are waiting for that time to come, you will be like someone who will be with Qa'im in his own tent. But if you have a camp, for example, of course, you have the leader in one tent and other commanders and others in other tents. If the Qa'im has his camp set up, you will be, if you are actually waiting, you will be like one of those people. ثم سكت هنيئة. And then he paused for a moment and said, هو كمن كان مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Like the one who is with the Prophet. So, why should we worry? That's, for example, are we going to see the Imam, not see the Imam? Are we going to catch up with the time of the Imam alayhi salam or not? It doesn't matter. The point is that when you have faith and you are waiting for this, I will mention what is the benefit and advantage of this expectation. Waiting is just is not just, for example, okay, we are counting the times to see when the Imam comes. Now, when you wait, it means that you are not satisfied with the situation that you are in at the moment. You are waiting for something better to come. This is the meaning of intidhar or waiting. Now, again, another hadith. The Rawi says, I said to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, العبادة مع الإمام منكم المستتر في السر في دولة الباطل أفضل أم العبادة في ظهور الحق ودولته مع الإمام الظاهر منكم. Again, this is about the time of A'imma, but they don't have power. He says, which one is better? Worshipping God with an Imam from amongst you who is concealed in secret? You know, why the Sunnis don't know that Imam al-Sadiq is an Imam? And they say, we respect him. He was a very knowledgeable man from the family of the Prophet. Because it was a secret that he was an Imam. Only his companions knew that he was Imam. Of course, he didn't go out and publicly saying that, I am the Imam, I am the leader. Well, immediately they would have killed him. So this is Imam concealed in secret. Imam al-Sadiq, Imam al-Baqir, they were a'imma concealed in secret. He says, which one is better? Worshipping with you, concealed in secret during the reign of Batil, is better? Or worshipping God with a manifest imam from among you when the haq rules and is manifest at the time of the 12th Imam. Which one is better? At the time of Imam Jafar al-Sadiq, or at the time of the 12th Imam, or now? Now, you can judge yourself. You see, so we have three periods, three eras. One era is Imam as al-mustatir of a sir, concealed in secret, but he's there. The other one is now, when even the Imam is not with us, he's even deeper concealed in secret, even we don't know him, we don't see him. And then there's the time when the Imam comes. Now, look at the answer. فَقَالَ يَا أَمَّارِ This is Ammar ibn Musa, not Ammar, the companions of the Prophet. أَصَّدَقَةُ فِي السَّرِّ وَاللَّهُ أَفْضَلْ مِنَ السَّدَقَةِ فِي الْعَلَانِيَةِ Oh Ammar, by God, charity in secret is better than manifest charity. Of course, the Quran also says, if you, تُخْفُ الصَّدَقَاتِ فَنِعِمَّا هِي وَإِن تُخْفُ Sorry, in, what is it, the verse? If you show the sadaqat and manifestly give sadaqat, it's very good. But if you conceal it and give it to the poor, it's even better. Now, إِن تُبْدُ الصَّدَقَاتَ فَنِعِمَّهِ I remember this. إِن تُبْدُ الصَّدَقَاتَ فَنِعِمَّهِ وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ مِنْ سَيَّئَاتِكُمْ You give charity manifestly, Allah accepts it, gives you 10 times. Okay? You give in secret, no one knows about it, Allah accepts it, gives you 10 times, and yukaffir ankum sayyatikum. He will remove many sins from you. Now, here he says, doesn't God say that giving charity in secret is better than giving charity in manifest? In the same manner, your worship in secret with your concealed imam during the reign of Batil is better. The worship with fear during the reign of Batil is not like the worship with security during the reign of Haq. Now, this, of course, we have security now. That's one point I want to actually point out. You know, at the time of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, or Imam Al-Kadhim, you know, the Shia could not actually openly pray like Shias. Of course, they couldn't. And if anyone found out that they were Shias, they were in danger. They were in danger, absolutely. It was either death or imprisonment or something like that. And they worshipped at that time. Imam was present, but it was very difficult to practice tashayyu. Now, Imam is not present, but it is very easy to practice tashayyu. Would you like to have been in that time or this time? Which one? Which one is better? To be at the time of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq and practice tashayyu with fear all the time? Or now, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq is not here, but you practice tashayyu, you talk about Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, you follow him, if anyone insults him, you come out, you do all these things. Isn't it? Which one is better? Yeah, of course, sometimes we don't know the value of the ni'mah that we have. We don't know the value of the favors, yes. 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 Yeah, you see, that's it. You see, they had to actually practice absolute taqiyya. And they had to actually impart their faith to their children as well. I mean, it was very difficult to make the balance, isn't it? And sometimes among families, You had to, well, in case of Saddam, it was very clear. Even cousins actually feared each other. Even husband and wife feared each other. So it was the same thing at the time of A'imma alayhi salam. So when A'imma were there, you shouldn't think that it was just like the time of 12th Imam alayhi salam. It's very different. That is a manifest ruling leadership of Imam. This is just Imam being Imam in hiding, being Imam in secret. And as I said, we can compare ourselves to certain extent with those people who lived at the time of A'imma alayhi salam. Sometimes their hardships were even more than our hardships. And we have an advantage now. But, of course, compared to people who are going to live at the time of the 12th Imam, we have a disadvantage. And we are being actually compensated for it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with rewards. That is what these traditions are saying, that you have merits. Okay, it's very interesting. Ammar said that, okay, which one is better, to worship with you in secret or at the time of the Imam? He said, of course, worshiping now has more merit because you are in fear and it's like sadaqah to ser. He said, so why should we pray for the 12th Imam to come? Because we are receiving more reward now than then, isn't it? So he said, so I said, maybe you ransom. If that is the case, then we do not like to be from the companions of Al-Qa'im. We like to be from your companions to receive more reward now in the days of Haq. Because today under your imamah and in your obedience, our acts counts more than those living in the era of Haq at the time of Imam, the 12th Imam. He says, subhanAllah, this is very selfish, of course. The way you take the whole thing is very selfish. And sometimes when we talk about Imam al-Asr and our relation, what is my fault? You see, we take things very individually, very personal. This is not a personal issue. This is a huge matter of Allah's guidance, end of the time, coming that experience of human race. He says, SubhanAllah, أما تحبون أن يظهر الله عز وجل الحق والعز في البلاد. I'm amazed what you say. Do you not like God to manifest the truth and justice in cities, to improve the situation of human beings, to unify the faith, to reconcile between diverse hearts? Who's saying this? It's Imam saying it. You see, the Imam is waiting for the Qa'im to come to do these things because he doesn't have an open hand himself. So he's waiting for the Qa'im to come and do all these things. And do you not like that God is not disobeyed on earth, that the hudud of Allah are implemented on people, that the right is returned to its force and they can manifest it and not hide any part of Haq out of fear from any of his creation? La yastakhfi bi shay'in. This is famous, of course, statement. Atta la yastakhfi bi shay'in min al Haq. مَخَافَةَ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْخَالِقِ. Now, then he says, أَمَا وَاللَّا يَا عَمَّارَ. By God, يَا عَمَّارَ لَا يَمُوتُ مِنْكُمْ مَيِّتٌ عَلَى الْحَالِ الَّتِي أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا كَانَ أَفْضَلْ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مِنْ كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا وَأُحُدًا فَأَبْشُرُوا. Now, I swear by God, Ammar, no one of you would die in the circumstances which you are enduring on today unless they are higher in the eyes of God than the martyrs of Badr and Uhud. So rejoice. You see, although you are not at the time of Qa'im, but because of that situation, you will be like the Shuhada of Badr and Uhud. Now, of course, as I said, we are not in that tense situation that as the companions of the Imams were at the time. But still we are deprived of our Imam. We have to somehow keep our faith on this matter, the matter of Imam and Wilaya. We have to educate ourselves. We have to strengthen our faith. So all these would lead to the fact that we are going to be rewarded even more than those who are going to be at the time of Imam alayhi salam. So we shouldn't be worried whether we want to connect with Imam al-Asr, I want to see him, I want to talk to him, he should come and help me. No, this is not, this, as I said, don't take these matters very personal, individual. This is a grand matter, not a sort of personal, piecemeal matter. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, سَيَأْتِي قَوْمٌ مِنْ بَعْدِكُمْ, to his companions, that after you will come a people, that a man among them will have the reward of 50 of you. companions of the Prophet. A man among them will have the reward of 50 of you. They said, oh, Messenger of God, we were with you in Badr and Uhud, and the Quran was sent down amongst us. He said, if you were to be burdened with what they will be burdened, you would not have their patience. So patience is something very important. This actually, I should have included this under the title of patience at the time of Imam al-Asr alayhi salam, and at the time of Aim alayhi salam as well. But anyhow, this is about the merits of people who are living at the time of occultation. And this one is from Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam. تَمْتَدُّ الْغِيبَ بِوَلِيِّ اللَّهِ الثَّانِي عَشَرَ. This is a direct allusion to the 12th Imam from Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. Imam al-Sajjad said, this is to Abu Khalid al-Kabuli, one of his closest disciples, one of the four who actually stood with him after Karbala. And interestingly, he was from Afghanistan, from Kabul, from Abu Khalid al-Kabuli. Abu Khalid, the occultation will last long for the 12th Waliullah. And the title Waliullah, I just didn't translate it, it's very difficult to translate that title of Waliullah, friend of God or whatever. So the occultation will last long for him. The people of the time of his occultation who believe in his imamah, this is now direct reference to us, not the people at the time of the imamah who didn't have open hand. The people of the time of his occultation who believe in his imamah and await his reappearance are above the people of all other times. Because Allah Ta'ala has given them such intellect, understanding, thank you. He's talking about us, isn't it? Has given them such intellect, understanding, and ability that absence for them becomes like witnessing. Al-ghiba becomes like bimanzalatish mushahada. Because they have such a firm certitude on the matter, it's as if they are with the Imam. It's not very different for them. He regards them in that time as those who fought in presence of the Prophet. They are truly the sincere ones and are truthfully our Shia. Oh, that's a good hadith about us, that at the time of occultation, if we keep firm and are steadfast on this matter of Wilaya and Imamah, of course we are going to be rewarded, inshallah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, now let's go to our duties. Any question up till now? When I say any question, it means I'm just going to have my tea. Right. First, to believe in him, that is a very important thing. How could a man live for 1300 years? First thing, isn't it? You have not seen it for all these years, waiting for him to come back. And many other things which are said. I mean, look at this, the khutbahs of some of these Wahhabi shuyukh in Saudi Arabia, the way they talk about Shia, and they ridicule them, they are waiting for someone. How could someone live that long? There are certain things which really need great faith to believe in. Especially, you know, initially the Shia thought that Imam goes in occultation for a short time and comes back. That's why, for example, they used to bury the khums initially, because the khums was going to be given to the Imam. They used to bury the khums waiting for the Imam to come to take it out and give it to the Imam. They thought it's so near. Then gradually it became prolonged and prolonged and prolonged. And it was more difficult to keep faith in that. And we are told that, yes, this is going to be a prolonged absence. And in that prolonged absence, Allah is testing the faith of the Shia in whatever they have heard from their A'imma alayhi salam. So it's obvious, it's a test. So to believe in him. And this is part of Iman ibn al-Ghayb, isn't it? Because Imam, we believe in an Imam who is Ghayb, who we do not see. And many exegetes have said that الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ includes Shia exegetes. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ in Surah Baqarah includes faith in Imam al-Asr alayhi salam. Look what Faiz Kashani says, for example. What is the meaning of ghayb? Bima ghaba an hawasihim. Believe in whatever is hidden from their senses. Including, he says, including Tawheed of Allah, prophethood, prophets, rising of Al-Qa'im, Al-Raj'ah, of course that's a different issue, resurrection, accounting, parallel and hell, and other issues in which they have to have faith but cannot be seen and can be known only through evidence placed by God. So it is important that we keep this firm belief. Although, of course, we do not see him, although things may be somehow very difficult to accept, but one major duty of the Shia at the time of occultation is to keep that strong faith. And one hadith in Kamal al-Din, this is, of course, I mentioned this from Tafsir Nur al-Saghalain, but he reports it from Kamal al-Din. In some narrations, the ta'wil of this verse is given as having faith in the rising of Al-Qa'im. This verse, في قول الله عز وجل هدى للمتقين, it is guidance for the God-weary, those who believe in the unseen. It means those who acknowledge the rising of the Qa'im. This is ta'wil, of course. This is an instance of Iman bil-Ghayb. Now, wouldn't Iman bil-Ghayb lead to superstition? I mean, I can say that, you see, if I'm a good person, I tell you, behind this wall, there is, for example, something that you do not see, and I want you to believe in it. Yes, there are some jinns in this room, for example, that one of them is a big demon. If you, for example, just leave the class early, he would jump upon you and kill you. You see, I mean, all these things, these superstitions, I can say all these things to you. So, isn't Iman bil-Ghayb something which creates superstition? And we know how superstition is strong among all faiths. I mean, especially among the Christians, this superstition is very, very strong. And among Muslims, of course, many Muslims, they have these superstitions. Not as strong as Christians, but to a certain extent, we have all these superstitions. So, doesn't Iman bil-Ghayb lead us to superstition? Now, Fakhruddin Razi actually takes on this issue. And he says, yes, it's possible. Iman bil-Ghayb may lead to superstition, but we have two types of Iman bil-Ghayb. One, the unseen for which we have evidence. And the other one is the unseen for which we do not have any evidence. If you have an unseen for which there is evidence, he says, this verse means to commend the God-weary because they believe in an unseen for which there is an evidence, in the sense that they reflect and use the evidence, then believe in it. I mean, believing in God. Okay, God is unseen, absolutely. God is not like certain, for example, superstitious beings that some people believe in them. No, there is evidence for the existence of God. We look everywhere, we see his signs. فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ آثَارَ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Look around and see the evidence of the mercy of your Lord. So there is an evidence. Iman, believing in God, is not superstition, is a belief based on evidence. Just like many things that we know exist in this world out of our scientific analysis, but we cannot see them. Many physical things. Iman in the prophethood, connection, relationship between a person and God, if it is just someone comes out and claims that I have dreams, for example, or someone talks to me, well, this is superstition. But if someone has great proof for the connection, of course, this is based on evidence. Now, Iman to the in the 12th Imam is something which is based on numerous evidence. And evidence, sometimes it's just evidence we see around us. Sometimes it's evidence coming from the Prophet, from people who were infallible. So we have innumerable evidence about the occultation of the 12th Imam. Therefore, it is not something which leads to superstition. Yes, superstition can be created around it, as we see. I mean, people talk all the time. That Imam, the 12th Imam, told me this, sent me a message, I send you this message. You know, every now and then someone comes to Islamic Center to the reception that the 12th Imam has told me to come and give you this message. And say, okay, write it down, thank you, go. Of course. How could the 12th Imam would send a message to someone too? I mean, these are superstitions. But if something is based on evidence, it is not superstition. Now, here, look at this. يَأْتِ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ يَغِيبُ عَنْهُمْ إِمَامُهُمْ. Imam al-Baqir said, a time will pass on people in which their imam hides from them. How blessed are those who are steadfast on our affair, again, عَلَى أَمْرِنَا, this amr, the velaya, during those times, the least reward for them is that the Creator will call them, O my servants, you believed in my secret and acknowledged my ghaib. So this is from ghaib, isn't it? This is faith in ghaib. So rejoice with excellence of reward from me. The second thing that we have actually to be doing at the time of ghaiba, it seems actually not to be doing anything, but it is in itself an act of worship to wait and expect his return. As I said, expectation, waiting for Imam to come means, first of all, that you believe in him. Secondly, that you believe in his mission, that he is coming to change something, and that you are not happy with the type of world in which you are in, and you want some change to come in, because what we see around us now is actual degeneration into more and more atheism, going away from God, immodesty, sort of arrogant individualism. This is what we are seeing. Although we have more welfare, but welfare is not everything, of course. And look, this is, of course, in so-called advanced countries, look at Muslim countries. Their situation is even worse, you see, is even worse. So we are not happy with what is going on. And therefore we are waiting. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam said, Afdalul ibadah intidharul faraj. The best worship is awaiting the ease. Now, faraj I have translated as ease. It's very difficult to, because faraj is a concept which has a sort of load of conceptual meaning in our traditions. When the situation is eased for the Imam to come, and he can come actually and will have open hand. Now, how could we call this worship? I mean, we are all, of course, day and night we are waiting for the Imam to come. Or are we? Are we? You see, everyone is waiting in a sense, because the whole world is waiting in the sense that he's not there and the time is passing and he will come. But are all of we actually waiting for him? Can someone explain? So I'll take my tea. Yes. No, but are all of us actually waiting for him? I mean, some of us may say, we are quite happy the way we are. And sometimes, you know, when some signs, which are similar to the signs mentioned in traditions about the coming of Imam comes, people panic. Oh, what are we going to do? Imam is coming. It means that we are not waiting for him, actually. We are quite happy now, the way we are. And if he comes, we panic. If the time for him comes, then we start panicking. That means we are not waiting. Okay, so waiting is a worship. It's not just being there until the Imam comes. No, it is a sort of active attitude in people that we want really something to happen, and we are waiting for it to come, and we are preparing ourselves for it. Imam Reza alayhi salam su'ila an shay'in min al-faraj. He was asked about some aspect of the ease when the ease for the Imam comes. فقال أليس انتظار الفرج من الفرج. I want you to explain the meaning of this hadith to me. أليس انتظار الفرج من الفرج. إن الله عز وجل يقول فانتظروا إني معكم من المنتظرين. Is not expecting the ease from the ease itself. Allah the Mighty, the High says, so wait, I too am waiting along with you. إني معكم من المنتظرين. Of course, the Prophet. You wait, I am as well waiting alongside with you. Now, أليس انتظار الفرج من الفرج. Isn't waiting for that ease from the ease itself. What do you understand from that? We may get different meanings, of course, from it. What do you understand from that? Okay. Fair enough. And I don't say anything. Is it intizar al-faraj min al-faraj? When actually you are waiting for that mission about which you have heard, justice, equity, religiosity, God awareness, and all these things, and you are waiting for it, means God has opened your heart, isn't it? God has opened your heart towards it. Your faraj actually is there in your heart. And it doesn't matter whether you catch up with that or not. It is there in itself. And ما أحسن الصبر وانتظار الفرج. How nice is patience and waiting for the ease. Have you not heard the word of God? So watch. I too am watching along with you. فارتقبوا إني معكم رقيب وانتظروا إني معكم من المنتظرين. And so wait, I too am waiting along with you. So I advise you to patience, because the ease comes at the edge of disappointment. So it's not going to come easily. Many prophets before, as we have in many traditions, you shouldn't think that people before were at ease all the time. حتى إذا استيأس الرسل وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرًا. When the prophets were disappointed, not from God, of course, from their people, disappointed that no one is going to respond. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا. And people thought that they are told lies by the prophets. So long it lasted. But at the edge of that absolute disappointment, جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرًا. The Nasr, the victory came. And it's the same thing about Imam, the 12th Imam, alayhi salam. People who were before us, I think I have mentioned this tradition somewhere. You know, people before us, they, even if I have mentioned it, I say it now, I'm not sure if I put it there or not. They actually underwent great, great difficulties that we never have experienced something like that. I mean, just imagine the people at the time of Musa alayhi salam. For hundreds of years they were under oppression. Then when Musa came, that oppression increased. قَالَ يَا مُوسَىٰ أُوذِينَا مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَأْتِيَنَا وَمِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جِئْتَنَا. Before you came, we were under pressure. After you have come, we are under pressure. فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَىٰ إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّةً مِنْ قَوْمِهِ أَلَىٰ خَوْفٍ مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَائِهِمْ. This is one of the difficult verses of the Quran. Not وَمَلَائِهِ, Fir'aun and his mala. فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَائِهِمْ. Only a small group from the people among the Banu Israel believed in Musa. Everyone rejected the faith. Why? Because they were fearful from Fir'aun and from their own wealthy people, malaihim, from their own people. And they endured that for long, long years, and even at the time of Musa. So things come at the edge of disappointment. This is the law. This is the law of testing. Allah tests the hearts. I mean, those who fail in the middle of the way, they receive the reward based on the level of their faith. But those who actually pass that threshold of disappointment and go to the other side. These are the ones who are actually taken to the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. انتظروا الفرج ولا تيأسوا من روح الله فإن أحب الأعمال إلى الله عز وجل انتظار الفرج. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, wait for the ease and do not disappoint from the mercy of God. Indeed, the act most loved by God is waiting for the ease. Imam Ali saying this. It's very interesting, strange, isn't it? He is the Imam himself, and he said, wait, the 12th Imam will come. Now, who is a true expectant? Now, we said waiting. I said waiting is an active attitude, not just a passive attitude. Now, what is that? قَالَ الصَّادِقُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ لَنَا دَوْلَةٌ يَجِيءُ اللَّهُ بِهَا إِذَا شَاءُ. Imam Sadiq, there is an era for us. Now, the time of Imam Sadiq, Imam Al-Baqir, it's not their era. They are just bound, their hands are tied. It's not their era. There will be an era for us. It will come. Lana, there is an era for us that God will bring it whenever He wishes. Then he said, whoever likes to be among the companions of Al-Qa'im must wait and act righteously and with good akhlaq, and he is the one who is truly waiting. Not everyone. I mean, we see some of these fusaq of the Shia, they go and do all sorts of mischief, and they say, well, we wait for Imam al-As to come and sort everything out. This is not waiting, of course. This is just passing our time like any other nation. Now, the third thing that we have to bear in mind, to stand firm on the concept of wilaya. We do not become terrified by people actually denying, 85% of Muslims do not believe in this issue. I mean, majority of people do not believe in God. So what? I mean, if we believe in something based on evidence, we have to be firm on that. And do not somehow prevaricate, hesitate about it, especially at the time of occultation. You know, in the time of Aima, people heard others going to see the Imam, seeing miracles on their hands. Now we don't see the Imams. We don't see the 12 Imams. Some people have tried to somehow make some sort of stories about people having seen miracles from the Imam, connecting with them. Most of them are not reliable. Just people, for example, someone passing in the wilderness without food, and some man comes and helps him and goes, and then he doesn't see him, and then he said, oh, it was 12th Imam. How do you know it was 12th Imam? Maybe he was someone else. Maybe it was not one Waliullah. See, many of these stories are like this. We don't need them. Why should we need these stories? I mean, when we have firm evidence about the Imam being there, and his function is not just to come and help individuals. We talked about his function. We talked about the necessity of the Imam there. And if we have this firm evidence, and we have to have this firm conviction about that, قال الباقر عليه السلام من ثبت على ولايتنا في غيبة قائمنا. You know, this idea of غيبة القائم was very much there in the early history of the Shia. And time of Imam Sajjad, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and time of al-Baqir, they were all talking about this ghaibah that is going to happen. So, Imam al-Baqir said, whoever stands firm in our wilayah during the absence, on our wilayah during the absence of our Qa'im, God will requite him with the reward of 1,000 martyrs from the martyrs of Badr and Hunayn. Why Badr and Hunayn? Because Badr and Hunayn were the most difficult battles, of course, where Muslims were actually going to be wiped off. Completely. And Imam Ali alayhi salam said, Allah, فَمَنْ ثَبَتَ مِنْهُمْ عَلَىٰ دِينِهِ. Those who are living at the time of occultation. وَلَمْ يَقْسُ قَلْبُهُ لِطُولِ عَمَةِ غَيْبَةِ إِمَامِهِ فَهُوَ مَعِي فِي دَرَجَةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Oh, this is a very, very high position, isn't it? Imam Ali said, beware any one of them, those who live at the time of occultation, who stands firm on his faith and his heart does not harden due to the long duration of his absence. Harden in the sense that, well, if Imam would have wanted, would have come and guided me. So if I don't have an Imam, why should I practice all these things? God is not guiding me. The heart is gradually hardening, the faith goes, practice goes. If that does not happen and stands firm on his faith and his heart does not harden due to the long duration of his absence, he will be with me in my level in paradise. Now, of course, all of us, inshallah, will be with prophets and a'imma in paradise, but not in their level. What the hadith is said that he will be with me in my level in paradise. That means these are, of course, very highly stationed people to have this firm conviction. The fourth thing that we have to bear in mind, to prepare ourselves for his coming. Now, what I said before was to expect his coming, to wait for his coming, and the second one is to prepare ourselves. Now, some people have written in certain books, maybe 60, 70 things about how to prepare ourselves for the coming of one of them, for example, to learn martial arts so that when the Imam comes, we are ready. These are, of course, we know that these are not things that the Imam would require when he comes. The most important thing is that when he comes, our hearts would not reject him. That is the important thing. You know, the Jews in Medina were waiting for the prophets, were waiting for him. Actually, they had migrated there because they were expecting a prophet to come. But when he came, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ. When he came, they rejected him because things that he said, they didn't like it. Things that he said did not resonate with their values, with their ideas. Now, what if, of course, we all say that we are waiting for the Imam alayhi salam to come. What if when he comes, he says things which would not resonate with our hearts? It's not in our hand. It's not in our control. You know, the wildest thing in the world is your heart. It's not under your control. It would somehow disobey you in many, many, many aspects. So, what if what he says, we don't like it? So, one major thing, the most important thing in preparation is that we train ourselves in a way that our heart, our mind, is in line with what he is going to bring. And by getting closer to the Quran, we know that in many traditions I mentioned before that he is going to establish the Quran. Now, the Quran, of course, many Muslims read the Quran, but they do not understand in the same way, because their understanding is very superficial. The deeper they go in understanding, the understanding would converge more and more because they get to the depth of the concepts of the Quran. Now, remember the hadith from Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam, يَعْطِفُ الرَّعْيَ عَلَى الْقُرْآنِ إِذَا عَطَفُ الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى الرَّعْيِ. He will bring back all opinions to the Quran after they have made the Quran subservient to opinions. Now the Quran is subservient to different opinions. The Wahhabis have one opinion about the Quran. Quran is theirs. We have one opinion. Salafis has one opinion. Many, many, of course, even among the same denomination, we have many understandings of the Quran. Why? Because we haven't gone deep into the Quran. We just superficially have read it and have actually made it subservient to our opinions. What he will do, he will bring all this back to the Quran. Now, the more, the deeper we understand the Quran, easier our heart would accept what he says. This is preparation. This is the important thing. So one, by adding to our faith and good acts, because again, faith and good acts would increase our guidance. وَيَعْتِفُ الْهَوَىٰ عَلَى الْهُدَىٰ. All the desires, he will take them back to guidance. بَعْدَ and atraful huda ala al hawa. After they are made guidance subservient to their desires. So the more we practice faith, the more we do good acts, the more guidance sinks in our hearts. And therefore, when he comes, our heart is quite ready for him. This is the most important thing. Any other thing is, all other things are just superficial compared to this one. That our heart should be ready for him when he comes and brings the hidayah. So, قال صادق عليه السلام لنا دولة يجيء الله. This is the hadith I mentioned before. I just repeated it because of this. العمل بالورع ومحاسن الأخلاق. If you do this, then you are expecting, then of course, when he comes, you will not reject him. Strengthen our awareness of him by acts such as, now, we need some connection, of course. We need some awareness of the Imam. We shouldn't be oblivious of the 12th Imam, although he is in occultation, but we shouldn't be quite oblivious of him. So, we can do certain things that actually give us this consciousness all the time about him, the awareness about the Imam being there. Now, the acts that we can do, which would give us this consciousness of the Imam, praying for him and hope for his return. You know, with prayer for someone, you actually establish a connection. You can actually try this yourself. One of your friends you choose and pray for him or her every night. After a while, you see that there's a connection in your heart between you and him or her, you see? This prayer establishes a connection. And therefore, you may say, the Imam does not need our prayer. Okay, he doesn't. Of course, everyone needs prayer. Everyone. Why do we all the time send salawat to the Prophet, peace be upon him? Because, well, first of all, because it establishes a connection between us and him. And secondly, because it raises his level all the time when we send salawat to him. And when we pray for Imam, it is, of course, effective. But the most important thing is that it establishes a connection between us and him. And every morning, for example, you pray for him. Every night you pray for him. This strengthens this connection. Doing acts of charity on his behalf. Like, for example, saying this salawat, doing worship, or giving some charity on his behalf. Again, you see, the important thing is not that he is benefiting from it. Although he will, inshallah. But the important thing is that you are actually establishing that connection. You are feeling his presence. Renewing pledge with him every day or week. Again, that Ya Allah, I'm renewing this Dua al-Ahd, which is good to recite every morning. Not the long one, because I know the long one, if you want to do it, after a week, you do it and then you leave it. Because it takes 15 minutes, 10 minutes. No, this short one. Allahumma ballagh mawlaya sahib al-zaman salawatullah alayhi. 2 minutes. If you do it every week or every day, it establishes this connection and it strengthens our awareness about his presence. Asking God to give us knowledge of his position. And that's another thing. And of course, we talk about him, but we really don't know what station, what position he has. And that's why, look at this hadith. Imam As-Sadiq al-Salam said to Zurara, should you witness the time of occultation, recite the following dua. Allahumma arrifni nafsak, fa'innaka illam tu'arrifni nafsak. All of you know this, okay? And at the end is that, arrifni hujjatak, fa'innaka illam tu'arrifni hujjatak, zalaltu an dini. In the sense that we are aware of his position. Patience, patience, patience. This is the most difficult thing because we don't have patience. And many traditions talk about this, that قال الصادق عليه السلام فما تمدون عيونكم فما تستعجلون ألستم آمنين. Imam Sadiq said, why do you gaze at far all the time looking, for example, when this, just metaphorical, when this victory is going to come. Why do you haste? Are you not secure? Wouldn't any one of you go out of his house, do his business, and come back without being kidnapped? Now we all say that we want the Imam come. Okay, you are secure. God will bring him at his time. Why are you so in haste? God has destined something and that will come.
إن كان من قبلكم على ما أنتم عليه.
If people before you. Now this probably refers to the time of Imam Ali, Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam. If that position. Now of course it's a time of Banu Abbas, all the problems are eased, the Shia can practice openly, Imam al-Sadiq has his classes, okay? If people before you believed what you believe, لَيُؤْخَذُ الرَّجُلُ مِنْهُمْ فَتُقْتَأُ يَدَاهُ وَرِجْلَهُ وَيُسْلَبُ عَلَى جُذُوءِ النَّخْلِ. If people before you had the same creed as you have, they would have been arrested and their hands and feet would have been cut off and they would have been crucified on palm fronds and cut by swords. And despite all that, they did not care but to remedy their own sins. They didn't say, when this is going to end? No. He said, this is a tribulation. We have to have patience. Let's correct ourselves, purify ourselves. So, sometimes, as I said, we show undue impatience. And Imam is actually talking because many of his companions were showing undue impatience about the coming of Qa'im. When is this going to happen? When your dawla is going to come? He said, have patience. Why are you asking? Allah has destined something. Wait for what He has destined. And then, of course, he recited this ayah, am hasibtum an tadkhulul jannah, just passed by. And Abu Basir says, qultu lis-sadiq ju'iltu fadak, matal faraj, when this is going to come, when this is going to come. You know, they actually tired a'imma, they annoyed a'imma by asking again and again and again, when is this going to happen? How long have we to wait? I asked Imam al-Sadiq, when will be the ease? He said, oh, Abu Basir, you see this world. Whoever knows this matter is given ease by his waiting. He wants time come. Okay, we Shias will become superior. Everyone who is follower of Laya will be given such a... He said, you are seeking the world. But if you have patience and wait with serenity, you are actually given the Faraj already. You are not aware of it. Seeking help from God, and especially to keep our heart firm. And Imam al-Sadiq said, سَتُصِيبَكُمْ شُبْحَةٌ فَتَبْغُونَ بِلَا عَلَمٍ يُرَى وَلَا إِمَامٍ هُدَى. Soon you will be inflicted by confusion. And God knows what confusion Shia had after occultation. Immediately after occultation, what confusion Shia had, God knows it. You will be inflicted by confusion and will remain with no signpost to be seen and no imam to guide. No one is saved from that except one who recites the dua of the drowned, dua al-ghariq. And what is that dua of the drowned? Ya muqallib al-qulub, ya rahma, ya Allah, ya rahman, ya rahim, ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenak. Make my heart firm on your faith. And deenullah is not a deen without wilayah. We know that. Wilayah is part of deenullah. Al-yawm akmaltu lakum deenakum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Now that wilayah comes, Islam is a deen I accept. I'm pleased with it. So, thabbit qalbi ala deenak means, of course, this faith that majority of Muslims have actually lost or deprived of. Now, this is very interesting. She says that, قلت يا مقلب القلوب والأبصار ثبت قلبي على دينك. The Rawi says. Imam said, say, يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. He says, يا مقلب القلوب والأبصار ثبت قلبي على دينك. The Imam says, of course, Allah is مقلب القلوب والأبصار. He turns hearts and eyes. But say, as I told you, do not ask. I said, say, مقلب القلوب. Don't add مقلب القلوب. Well, Afsar teaching us that the dua should be something that we have to follow the A'imma if we want to get the reward of a specific dua. Now, some good news for us. Finishing soon, inshallah. يأتي على الناس زمان يغيب عنهم إمامهم. This is about us, as I said. Imam al-Baqir said, a time will pass on people in which their imam goes to hiding from them. How blessed are those who are firm on our matter in that time. The least reward for them is that the Creator, the Mighty, the High, will call them saying, Ebadi, O my servants. Amantum bisirri, wasaddaqtum bighaybi. O my servants, you believed in my secrets, acknowledged my ghayb. This is specific the ghayb of the occultation. فَأَبْشِرُوا بِحُسْنِ الثَّوَابِ مِنِّي. So rejoice, good reward from me. You are truly my servants. But the servants here, فَأَنْتُمْ إِبَادِي وَإِمَائِي. Women, men and women together. Male and female both are used here. And finally, if you follow all the above, you will be like those who will be with the 12th Imam. That's all. You don't need to actually physically be present there. And read this hadith, it's very interesting because we don't have time now. And inshallah, Allah will give us the reward of those who will be with the Qa'im alayhi salam, and the reward of those who are waiting for him, and the reward of those who will not be with him. All of them, inshallah, Allah will give us. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Tahirin. Any question? Allahu sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Yes. They want actually to be somehow considerative about others, actually. But the dua is ثَبَّتْ قَلْبِي عَلَى دِينَكَ. It's better to say ثَبَّتْ قَلْبِي عَلَى دِينَكَ. I mean, when everyone is saying together, that's fine, isn't it? Everyone is asking it. Yes. Any other question? Yes. Yes.
Would that have been something that a concept that developed after the Prophet, or would that be there from before our Prophet?
Well, Prophet, peace be upon him, had informed us and of course them very deeply. I mean, not like the information that we have, that this is going to happen. So you see, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, when he comes, what will happen? So the Prophet had informed the Imam Ali alayhi salam that this is good. You mean waiting for for Imams of, Yes. Yes, this idea that every religion actually is waiting for the end of the time for someone to come shows that in all religions this was something that a concept which was there, that things would not get corrected until at the end of the time when Mahdi and Isa alayhi salam will come and rectify things. Yes. Yes. Anytime. Of course, in Qunut, especially after Salat, they say dua is accepted after Salat, it's better. And usually this is the dua they recite in many mosques. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Muqallab al-Ghulub, Thabbit Qalbi ala Deene. In Iran, it's very common. In every mosque, after Salat, they recite this dua. Yes. About? I don't know. You know, Masjid Jamkaran now is a place where people go in the remembrance of Imam al-Asr. Yeah, he had a dream. Okay, so how much you rely on a dream? The dream is of course good, and based on that dream, he had this mosque built. It's very good. It's a mosque where people go and remember Imam al-Asr in there. But whether really Imam al-Asr told him, this is a message, isn't it? Anyone who says, I have a message from Imam al-Asr, we are told, I didn't want to bring that here. One of the duties in the time of occultation. Anyone saying that I have a message from the Imam, our duty is to deny him. This is the duty. Deny him. No. Because at the time of Ghaybah, no message will come from the Imam to us. Otherwise, you know, there were many imposters who wanted to bring such messages to cut off all these sort of things. The Imam alayhi salam said that al-mudda'i kadhab, anyone who claims something about this is liar. Yes. These are the time, I mean, most of the exegetes, Sunni and Shia, said that this is about the time of Imam al-Asr, alayhi salam. That time. The time, because they inherit the earth, means they have authority on it, isn't it? Not just, for example, they have a piece of land there. No. They have authority. يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا means that they have the authority to implement faith in its full. This is meaning of لا يشركون بشيء. Okay. يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِشَيْئًا. Therefore, this only implies to the time of the final Imam. No one, even the Prophet, could not do that at his time. So, only the time of the 12th Imam. And the other ayat, like the ayah in Surah Tawbah or in Surah Saf, that هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. Again, the exegesis. Sunni and Shia, they say this is about Imam al-Asr. Okay, thank you very much. And inshallah, I hope that Imam al-Asr is pleased with us having this session.